we're still dealing with like the stereotypical angry black girl thing. And I didn't realize how real that was until I was in two separate situations in the same day that didn't even have anything to do with potential men, and to see their response to me that was unprompted. Like, I was going to storage and there was something wrong with the keypad, and an older African-American gentleman behind me was like, oh, let me jump out and help you. And it wasn't so much that he wanted to help, it was how. It was almost like, move, you dumb girl. And so it was like, well, no, the machine is broken. He was like, oh, well, I'm sorry. I was just trying to.
And it was like, I didn't
even give you that energy. So why is that the response?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like it's assumed that it's a lot of work to deal with a black girl. Right. Mm-hmm. And black girls got their, you know. And, and so there are outside racial groups who hear these stereotypes and don't have enough interaction with us, I'd say, on a social plane to dismiss them. So it's tough.
And I think there's a difference between, say, dating or interested in black women and then, like,
wanting to bring one home.
Is like the marriage. Exactly. Want to bring home to family and marry and all that. I think that's different. I think there's a lot of men who are interested in black women for many different reasons. But I think when it comes to other races, I don't think that all of them are necessarily interested in thinking of a black woman as like a marriageable, you know, marriage partner.
My experience is different because I have dated out of my race. I used to only date African-American men, but then I felt like I was kind of preventing myself from maybe finding true love because I was looking for all of these things and I was looking for them only in a black man. Where when the truth is, you know, black is a race. There are other races that could possibly have the things that I look for in a man that could make me just as happy. So I explored those alternatives. And initially, the thing that attracted me to the people that I dated that were of a different race was the things that were different. You know, the cultural factors, the music they listened to, the places that they frequented. A lot of those things just absolutely intrigued me initially. And then once I realized all those things and we had nothing left in common, there was nothing left to talk about. There was nothing left to pursue. And I could have very easily engaged in a marriage with any of those guys that I dated out of my race. But ultimately, I still find myself dating black men.
Because it does ultimately come back to culture and, you know, how you relate to one another. That's not to say, because we have my sister, for one, who has married outside of a race, and they were fine. Everything was good. And other people, of course. But when I've dealt with it, when I've seen other people deal with it, it's come down to, okay, just like you said, we've gone through all of this, but then do you understand? And especially black men and other women of other races. I think a black woman understands a black man's peril better than anybody.
But black men are probably more likely to marry those women of other races than black women are.
Oh, no. They don't realize that until after they've married them. wait a minute.
Oh, this is a problem.
You don't get this. You don't understand me. But it's a little too late because you've already married her.
Or they're looking for different things in a woman.
Right.
Like, maybe they're not looking for what we have to offer, but maybe people of different races offer different things, and maybe that's what they're looking for.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think that's interesting, and I'm sure that, I don't know, maybe that is true on some level, but, you know, and none of us can deny our cultural background and heritage and you know, the things that we all share in common because we're black people, but I would say having gone to an HBCU, and everyone comes away with a different experience, but what I came away with was how dissimilar we are. You know, that just because we are of the same color or culture or whatever, and we grew up in a similar region, doesn't mean that we have anything in common outside of that. So I can't necessarily, you know, just assume that because you're Asian, you're going to be docile, you know, and quiet. And demure.
That's not even
right. Exactly. Exactly. Of course. And that's what I'm saying. So it's like, so, you know, this one race, what culture, whatever, becomes interesting because they're exotic and are perceived to be, you know, these lotus flowers. But it's like, give me a break. You know, I mean, I know some very feisty Asian chicks, you know, who will get
Definitely.
Up in that ass, like, without a problem. Yeah. So
I agree.
Yeah. So that's what's
similarly, you know, we're stereotyped as being angry black
we
women.
Are
so,
but I refuse
right, it
yeah it's not right and it but and I think every opportunity that you get to to shirk that is definitely one that you should take on. You know, I mean, definitely. And it's funny, when Kim was talking about, you know, the high maintenance boyfriend, it just sent me right back to my last boyfriend who was like crazy. You know, I mean, he was an actor, which is going to be a problem. Sorry, I don't think I'll date another actor ever. But, he was a black male actor, yes, and he was he was crazy, and what I realized was that we're he gay. Was no not gay, definitely not gay. You know, certainly heterosexual, very comfortable in his heterosexuality. That's all good. But I'm not your personal assistant, and I need you to learn how to use the computer yourself, make your own car reservations, and book your own hotel fare. Thank you. I have a job. But also, the other thing was, he was separated at the time. They're now divorced. And I realized that he was, like, constantly trying to project on me this angry black woman thing because that was his ex-wife. And I kept having to check him. Like, I don't know who you think you're having this argument with, but please keep in mind that I'm not your ex-wife. Mm-hmm. I'm not the angry black chick. Like, and I won't be that chick just because that's what's comfortable for you. Mm-hmm. You know? So definitely. I think that that is, it is problematic, and it's something that we need to, and, you know, not to just bring it all back around to a total 180, but the conversation that we were having about cross-dressing black men in films and the images that they are projecting and portraying, it's like, that is, and what I said when we finally got to the end of that conversation was, what's more interesting and problematic for me is the images that they are projecting about black women. Like, who are these black women that you are portraying? Because all the women that I know are not these angry, loud, you know, in your face all the time, ignorant chicks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, cross-dressing is one thing, but to consistently cross-dress and to portray black women in this light and in this fashion is what's more problematic for
and
me.
I listened to that podcast, Jamila, and thought about that you made that point and how I wanted to come back to it at some point, because there is a question of why, when we are portrayed in films, not by ourselves, but by our men portraying us, this is the image of us that is put forth. And I know we had a conversation on the podcast that unfortunately will not get aired because the sound was bad. I remember saying that what bothered me about that is that that image is always of a big mama. And when I think about my big mama, she was nothing like that. She was such a lady. And so this whole, like, you know, like gangster Aunt Jemima gun toting grandma, you know, who's just overly everything, it's problematic for me. And the fact, more so the fact that brothers are doing it. Mm-hmm. And so it does beg the question, where are y'all getting this material from? What is inspiring you to create this character? And because I don't see that black woman as often as I see so many others.
I think, and I've thought for a long time, that all the problems that we experience within our generation with the men that we interact with started with their mothers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How mom saw themselves and how mom interacted with that son and how mom chooses to accept or dismiss the poor behavior or acceptable behavior of that son pretty much molds how they relate to their female counterparts.
Yeah, this is true.
And, you know, I know a lot of moms, and I'm blessed to have girlfriends in several different age brackets, so I get to see the impact of their rearing. And the reality is, like, moms for sons dismiss all kinds of foolishness or, you know, add credence to the negative image that we have. Like, oh, you know, she's just a loud black girl. And, you know, and so whatever self-image they have of self, they push this on the girlfriend that they want their son to have. Like, I don't like my nappy hair, so make sure you get a girl with, you know, a little less
kink. My grandbabies can have good hair.
Yeah. And it's so subconscious that to get them to address it at that level means, like, you almost have to. I don't know how we'd address that.
No, yet. Because that would take a man seeing mom as just a woman and not mom. And I agree with you. I came across an article actually in the doctor's office that was talking about the relationship between black males and their mothers and how that has everything to do with the relationships they build with women there on out. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you have a mother, like, they have a story of one little boy who was started getting beat by his mother around age 7. He didn't realize until he was older it was because his father his mother found out that daddy was cheating at age 7 and put him out the house, and son is spitting image of dad. So because she don't have dad to take it out on, she's taking it out on the son. And they had, you know, 3 or 4 similar stories of black men who had experienced that, something of that order. I know it's not always abuse, because I know we don't have, you know, every black mother is not out there abusing their children. But for those who find themselves in those situations where they are heartbroken and don't know how to deal with it, and since we are a people who tend to not seek therapy when we need it, it pours itself out in other ways. And the children who, if there are children there who witness, they carry it. And it affects every relationship there on out.
And I would just like to say, going back to the whole cross-dressing black man, maybe Tyler Perry just likes that. You know, I don't know, but he's not the only one, though. Well, you know, we've got, okay, and this is dating myself, we've got Flip Wilson.
Richard Pryor.
You know, Richard Pryor.
Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence. But if you...
If we're talking about now, we're talking about Tyler Perry and Martin Lawrence.
I mean, he's still relevant to the conversation.
Yeah, and but I think for Martin Lawrence, and I'm just, I think that was more studio fixed. That was creation of the studio. I know he had a lot of, you know, he's got a lot of clout, but I really believe Tyler Perry's came from a more organic place. Just knowing his story, because he, you know, pretty much was his own man the whole way throughout this whole process. I just think he just likes it, you know, and not saying that he's gay or anything like that. He just saw that this was something that he could make money with and ran with it.
And he's running with it. And he blossoms when he's behind that costume.
The episode of the Boondocks.
Oh, yeah. That talked about it. But he's a completely different person when he dons the costume. I've said before that for me, he doesn't have as much of a presence when he's not in costume. And to his credit, Madea, I would say, has some redeeming qualities. I don't think she's as bad as, what was that character Eddie Murphy did?
Rasputia.
You know what I'm saying? That was just such a, I said before, I wonder if Eddie has mama issues, because he admitted that his clumps situation was based off of family members. And all of those weren't bad, but you know, you had some questionable characteristics in there. But this one, you know, is that one was just, for me, hurtful.
I don't want to take the audience on a roller coaster ride. Right, because we all over the place. To what's marriageable, speaking of mom, being in single world, I say focus. But what is marriageable is a man that does have a respectable relationship with his mom. Hello. And I think of my father, who, when my grandmother was in an accident out of state, my dad immediately, who is a workaholic, quit his job, moved from California, and moved in with my grandmother to take care of her. And basically took care of her up until she passed away. And I knew right there and then, I think my dad gained more respect for me than he did in my entire childhood. And he worked it out with my mother. And he listened to her when she wasn't always happy about it. She supported him, but it was her man. And she was like, okay, so whenever I get a vacation, I got to go to Detroit. Are you telling me, like, any weekend you want to see me, I got to come? But he listened, and he made his marriage work, and he still took care of his mother. Mm-hmm. And to me, a man that has a respectable relationship with his mother makes him marriageable.
Yeah, I think about that with my father-in-law, who's now passed on. Before he passed, his very regular routine was to go to his mother's house every week. And she wasn't far, and it wasn't to do anything necessarily, just to spend time with her. And he got ill while he was on vacation and was getting well while on vacation, but felt an urgent need to come back home. And the way my mother-in-law tells it, he wanted to see his mom. That was very important to him. And I know that was something my mother instilled in me. My grandmother, really, she's like, child, if a man don't treat his mama right, imagine how he gonna treat you. You know, and it doesn't matter what kind of mama he had. Even if mama wasn't doing what she needed to do, that's still his mother. So if his relationship with her, if he disrespects her, has no love for her, has no care for her, he's not going to be able to do that for you in a relationship.
I think a mama's boy is not necessarily a bad thing to a certain degree.
Right. There are levels.
Right. There are layers. Mama's, yes. Because exactly. My husband is definitely a mama's boy. He was the baby, but he loves his mama, and he will come all the way down to LA to clean her blinds, help her with the computer, whatever it is that she wants to, you know, she needs done. But I think that has a lot to do with how he treats me, you know, because I'm putting it out there. His brother is not a mama's boy. And, you know, I definitely see the difference.
Okay. But,
I mean, not to say that he doesn't love his mama.
Right.
Honey.
But there's a difference.
But yeah, there is a difference. Mm-hmm.
I think similarly, you can tell a lot about a man by how he treats his children. Because even though, you know, I would prefer to not date a guy that has kids, the reality is I'm 31. So a lot of the guys that I do date and have dated have had children. And you can tell a lot about them by whether or not they provide for their children, they spend time with their children, and just the relationship that they have with their children. Because one, it does indicate how they'll treat you, but also if that's someone you're looking to have a family with and have children with, mm-hmm. you can tell how he'll treat your children mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. There was something that my father always told me. He said, it's not so much how the man treats you when things are going good, but how they treat you when things are going bad.
Yes.
And that has really stuck with me. And I'm, in past relationships, I'm like, okay, as soon as things get bad, you start tripping, you know? But it's funny because me and my husband, I'm sorry, I always talk about my husband.
I'm going to too, don't
you? Well, we are talking about marriage. So
I'm talking about him now and I ain't got him.
I just love him. I love him so much. We've been together 8 years, but anyway. When things are going bad, I promise we get closer. I'm like, we're just in the trenches together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just think that's really important.
Yeah. I got a co-sign on that. When we was going through the home search, and Chris and I were in this itty-bitty cold apartment with this new baby. And it was like, we gonna ride or die. We are gonna thug this out until we get a roof over our heads. Yes. And it did. It brought us closer. You can always tell stuff in, what my mama say, weddings and funerals bring out the worst in people. Mm-hmm. So in those situations, you really see what's going on with folks. And if a death happens in the family, man, it will reveal a lot. So in any challenges, you can see, you know, how that dynamic is going to work. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely pay attention to that.
So anybody have anything to say in summation, ladies?
I apologize for getting us off topic, and thank you for being here.
That's okay. That's okay. We're going to keep that in the conversation, too. We thank you for joining us. Check back in for the next 15-minute break. Peace.